Rick, you've been around the team for a couple of days now. What are the things that have really struck you about this group?
Their work ethic, I think. They've worked really hard the last couple of days, even though it's been, you know, a pretty constant long build-up for them already with Brisbane coming here, Gallipoli, and but their work ethic for the last couple of days and their want to work hard at their games and get better has been a real standout. I think just the general feeling around the group is drastically different than it was 12 months ago when I was around the team as well in those one-day series over here. You can just tell that they're a really happy group. They're enjoying being around one another. They're enjoying the hard work that they're putting in. I think they're, you know, just really enjoying being together, which is a real standout. And it's a trademark of great sides that I've been around in the past. So, you know, I may have mentioned it last night in the team meeting, the feeling, you know, although I'm new to this group, it's, you know, the feeling around the team feels very familiar. It feels like a lot of the teams that I was a part of as a player. So, from what I've seen so far, there's some great signs, and boys are obviously playing good cricket as well.
Can you dwell on that? What similar aspects are there in terms of the feel to when you were around?
Just the closeness and that, you know, the sort of thing you can go to dinner with a different guy every night and have the same sort of time, I reckon. I think that's the thing that I've seen already. I mean, there's certain little groups around around the team, as you can imagine, with batters and bowlers and fast bowlers and spinners, as we all know. But, you know, I've only been here for a couple of days, but you can just tell that there's a lot of laughter, there's a lot of banter. You know, the change rooms are off the field, there's a lot of noise, which means the boys are generally happy. You generally get scared around teams when things are quiet and individuals get quiet, but I certainly haven't seen that. Everyone's pretty upbeat at the moment, understanding that they've got a couple of months together, and hopefully the couple of months here is, you know, a couple of the best months of their lives together.
So who have you had dinner with so far?
We had a management group dinner last night. But it's more the players getting out and about together. There's you can just tell that even the first night I got here, there's a real effort for everyone to get together just down in the bar and have a chat and be together more often than just being sitting back in your room. So that's been noticeable.
You would have seen Steve bat in India. Did he look any different today? What was he like observing in life today?
Yeah, I had a good chat to him in India actually, and he, even as well as he played in a few of the games over there, he still felt that he wasn't probably physically even 100%. But you talk to him now, he feels he's physically 100% and he's hitting the ball in the areas that he wants to hit the ball. And you saw today he's hitting the ball cleanly and hard and moving well, which is a great sign. So, I mean, from what I've seen with those two guys as well, they've slotted back in beautifully and they're the same people that they were around the group before they left. So there's really good signs for both of those guys too.
Is there a checklist of things that you think a squad needs to attend to in a World Cup situation? Perhaps different from other situations?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that you need to treat a World Cup any different than to any other tournament that you play, because at the end of the day, it actually is no different. I mean, it's a long tournament. I think the biggest thing you probably need to be wary of with World Cups is, you know, just how hard you train, how often you train, and don't use your whole tank up too early in the tournament. I think it's the really important thing, because, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the hype and you know, want to work harder and try harder and all those sort of things around a World Cup, and that's not the way it needs to be. If anything, I reckon you can almost get a feeling of going into the first part of the tournament almost feeling a little bit underdone, you know, and then try to build up and start playing your best cricket through the middle of the tournament and towards the end and hopefully peak at the right time. That's certainly what happened in you know, good World Cup campaigns that I was a part of. So, look, these boys are going really well now, and you know, we'll have a pretty light day for them tomorrow and a light day on Friday, and make sure that they're ready to go for a big test against England on Saturday.
What do you see as the key to kind of winning this World Cup?
Oh, look, I said a while ago, I think the way that we play spin and the way that we bowl spin, I think will have a big impact on where this Australian team goes in this tournament. We've obviously got the fast bowling side of things, you know, really well under control, and I think all of our batsmen play fast bowling particularly well as well. So it's been an area that this team has been working hard at and trying to address for a long time, and then you wind the clock back a few weeks and the boys win a one-day series in India against quality spin bowling. So all the hard work that they're doing there is starting to pay off. So once again, those sort of things are great signs coming here. What else do they need to... Well, look, I just think it's building on what they've been building on, I think, over the last few months. You know, you wind the clock back 12 months ago and, you know, there were some pretty dark scenes around Australia's one-day cricket, or even 3 or 4 months ago, it was pretty much the same. But that's long behind them now. They've got a group of players together that have been together for quite a while and know each other's roles. They know the roles that they need to play in the team, and I think if the boys can perform those roles anywhere near their best, then I think this team will be as hard to beat as anybody else.
David Warner at number 3, is that something you expect to happen against Afghanistan?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it's actually been spoken about too much. I think Justin's trying guys in different places now. Just keeps them on their toes a little bit, the boys here, and it probably keeps the rest of the other teams just wondering what Australia's going to do with their lineup as well. But I wouldn't read too much into what's happened here today. Come the next game, there's every chance that Davey will be back at the top of the order, so we'll wait and see what happens.
What do you prefer to see?
Thankfully, it's not a decision for me to make, but I think that's, once again, one of the really pleasing things with the side is that you've got competition for spots. That's a good thing. Is Kawaja three? Is Marsh three? Is Kawaja opening? Is Warner opening? So it's good, healthy competition around the guys. Keeps them on their toes and keeps them working hard.
I think Dustin said the other day that he thought England were the red hot favourites for the World Cup. Do you agree?
I agree. Yeah, I do. I agree with the way they've been playing, but. World Cups are completely different than any other tournament you play, and they'll have more pressure on them playing at home than anybody else will. India still are a very dangerous one-day side as well. I think the whole world knows that. They've got probably the best fast bowling brigade they've had in a long time, as we saw in Australia during the summer. And you put Kohli and Rohit Sharma and these guys in a batting lineup as well in good English conditions, then they could be very dangerous. So England probably are the favourites, but. We'll wait and see how they play in the big games.
I know it's only a practice match, but does that add a little bit to Saturday's game against them?
I think there's always a little bit added, yeah, whenever Australia and England play. I know we'll be doing everything in our power to play a good game of cricket and win the game. I mean, even today, you can see with the attitude of the boys on the field, yes, it was just a warm-up game, but we want to win, and we want to continue building on the things that we've been building on for the last few months. And I think today was a good example of where this team's at right now.
From a scouting point of view, how important is your coaching role in India? I mean, the access you get to seeing every player in the world, how much knowledge can you bring in to this camp for the World Cup?
I'm going to say none, because if I say a lot, I'll probably get the sack. They won't let me back into the IPL. it's no different than Steve Smith playing there. Steve Smith, he plays with some of the guys and against them. So. I got to work with one player at Delhi that'll be in India's team, Shikhar Dhawan. But I think nowadays there's nowhere that any international cricket can hide. I mean, if we can do whatever intel we want on any of these players without me actually working with them over there, there's every computer program in the world that we can break them down as much as we need to. So I don't think I learned anything more from the IPL working with Shikhar than I didn't know beforehand.
Chris Butler's credited your influence with him in the IPL as one of the reasons why he's kind of made the next step. I mean, you know pretty much how he plays and a lot about him. I mean, how do you stop him on
Saturday? He's probably a better player now than he was when I was working with him a couple of years ago at Mumbai. How do you stop him? It's a very good question. The bottom line with class players like that, you just have to make sure as a bowling group and a fielding group, you're trying to dictate terms to them and not let the batsman dictate to the bowling group. I think everyone understands how dangerous these guys can be, but the bowlers just have to understand if they're executing the best way that they can, then they're giving themselves the best chance either of limiting how much those guys score or getting them out. So, the best players in the world put extra pressure on bowlers with their skills or just the way that they are at the crease. And we just have to make sure that when we play against someone like a Butler, or it might be a Chris Gayle, or whoever it might be, some of these, these power players and some of the best players in the world, that they've got their plans really well sorted, and then more importantly, they execute those plans on the day.
You mentioned the importance of spin. How does that third, I guess, bowling spot between you got Stark, Cummins, and Jim Zampa? Can you play two spinners?
You can, absolutely, in the right conditions for sure. Yeah, and the right opposition. I think even if you look at today's West Indies team. They must have had 18 or 20 left-handers, didn't they, in that team today? Yeah. So there's a great match-up there for Nathan Lyon straight away. And if you dig into the stats, and the right-arm off-spinners against a lot of these West Indian batsmen have got really good records. Yeah. So you're always looking for the right match-ups and an area that you can find an advantage over an opposition team. So, if you had the right conditions and if a team has a few left-handers in it, then absolutely, I'm sure we'd think about playing two spinners.
Do we read in? Sorry, go.
Oh, no, you go now.
Mark Stoinis not there today. No concerns over him. He's just rotated the team. Is that right?
It's, we're not going to play everyone in these three games. So, you'll see a few changes in the next game, I reckon. Marcus will come back in. But I wouldn't read anything to that. Just the same as I wouldn't read anything into Warner batting at three. It might happen, but I'm sure there'll be some changes for the England game.
How does the Justin Bieber title sit with you?
It actually got me a bit worried, because I don't want the guys looking at me that way. I want the guys to look at me as someone that has a bit of a laugh and a joke with them, and see to help them out, help them become better cricketers, not be giggly and all funny around. But no, I was a bit surprised to read that.
Maxie said a few times that you get the best out of him. Why talk through your relationship with Clem. Why can you get more out of him than?
Well, I thought I could until I got him to the Delhi Daredevils, and it turned out to be a disaster. But look, I think I know him really well. I've spent, you know, even before I worked with the Australian team, I'd spent a bit of time with him around the Victorian setup and talked to him a lot during big bashes and things about his game and his cricket. And yeah, I just think I understand him probably as well as anybody. You know, I don't always get the best out of him. I had a lot of fun with him in that triangular series last 18 months ago, whenever it was. That was a lot of fun working with him there, and he was the man of the series, I think, in that one. But yeah, I think if anyone would be lying, I think if they could stand here and say that they absolutely know Glenn Maxwell inside out and know how to get to the bottom of him, but I think I've got a pretty good idea. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thanks, Ricky.